This afternoon, everyone, I'd like to cover an area that really is a prime factor in our future development as sons and daughters of God. It's something we all have in part, but are seriously lacking in many ways. And this is an area that must be developed in our lives. It's part of the calling of God that requires this ingredient to be perfected in our lives. And in some areas, we may be very good at this. In other areas, we may be failing terribly. For this reason, we want to take a look at a topic that has some very serious overtones to it, because I say it must be developed. We begin in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And please, again, we're talking from the standpoint that we look to the Word of God as our supreme authority to guide us and help us in explaining who, what, and why we are and how we are to conduct ourselves in the land of the living. We know that in the land of the dead, nobody is alive and nobody functions in the land of the dead. It's when we are in the land of the living that we need instruction how to live this life so that we can maximize the benefits of what God intended when he created us and brought us into the land of the living. In fact, he is referred to as the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And so we need to listen to him as our supreme creator and listen to his instruction and learn how to use this life to its maximum benefit. Most of us have never done that. We grew up in a world ready-made, everything going around us, and we have not realized what has been happening and the terrible problems that are now beginning to raise their ugly head on the horizon of everyday life. Problems that now are becoming so very serious that there are no simple answers to it. They're so complex that people are just shaking their head and I don't know. I don't know what to do. And people are lost. We are lost when we don't have instruction. Well, here, for those who believe in the Word of God, we have this marvelous instruction from the Apostle Paul, who is credited by many sources as the writer to the Hebrews. And here's what he says in verse 35 of chapter 10. It is imperative that you cast not away, therefore. Don't throw this thing away. What thing? What you have been understanding. The purpose of life. Why you were born. Why you were placed on this earth. Why you were called of Almighty God now as opposed to at a later time. This is a precious time, and time is running out in the hourglass of life. And we must not waste it. We must do as the scripture says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. There are terrible things that are beginning to impact on all of us as human beings in mind, body, and spirit. And you hear not only affecting people in the church of God, you hear it happening in the world around you, except they don't have any answers for it. All they know is things are getting bad, and it's scary because they see this beginning to swell and magnify on a day-to-day basis. We are told we are not to cast away, therefore, your confidence. In Proverbs chapter 3, we are told that it is God who is our confidence and shall keep our foot from being taken. So don't cast away your relationship with God, is what it is saying. To do so is suicide, spiritually and physically. God wants us to understand that his instruction is designed for what? Not just adults. It's designed for everyone. It's designed for children. It's designed for teenagers. It's designed for young adults. It's designed for older folks. It's designed for everyone. And our futures depend on it. The more we listen to what God says, follow his instructions, the better off we're going to be. So he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. There are tremendous promises that God has given to us in the scriptures that are designed to be fulfilled in the process of time. But it takes time to bring these things to pass. And so It goes on to say, note verse 36, here's where we are in delinquent status. I've entitled this sermon, You Have Need of Patience. We all have need of patience. You might think, well, that's what is that? You're going to see in a little bit how important this subject is. It says, you have need of patience. Why? Because as we live this life, it says that after you have done the will of God, dear brethren, we have not fully done the will of God. That's why we still have much to do. We have needs to develop this patience in our everyday life, because whether you realize it or not, every day situations arise that challenge you in this area of patience. Now, you might consider yourself a very patient individual, but it doesn't take much to make you become impatient. Husbands and wives need to be patient with one another. Sometimes they're not. Parents need to be patient with their children. Sometimes they're not, and they lose their cool. Children need to be patient with mom and dad. Why? Because they want everything right now. And living life, you cannot have everything right now. This is very important in light of profound prophecies that are coming to pass in our day and age today. And this thing of patience is going to play a very important part in how we conduct ourselves as these end time events begin to unfold before our very eyes. He goes on to say, for yet a little while, there's some time involved here, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. But in the meantime, what are you supposed to do as an individual? He tells us, we are now to the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is not the time to look back, to go back, to revert back, but to move forward in the instruction that God gives us. It says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Notice, perdition is destruction. Those who draw back away from the things of God will face destruction. But them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here we have a calling from God that requires this thing of patience. Now, we all have patience, but as I say, there's all kinds of things that challenge your patience every day. You fill in the missing blank. I've got blanks I can fill in with little things. One of the things that used to bother me in the early stages of computer was dial-up. Dial-up. And I would put my information in. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'd wait for it to slowly come on down. Well, you see what that was doing? It was trying my patience. And your patience gets tried in different ways like that. Now, later, they came up with DSL. Oh, I was so happy with DSL. DSL was an improvement. Then they came a DSL Lite. They made it a little bit faster. You see now what they're doing? Now they're going to go to 5G. They're going to make it whoosh, come so fast, your head will swim. Now, the interesting thing about that is the faster it comes, notice they're making us now impatient because the faster it comes, I want it faster. I want it faster. And you become impatient and life becomes a life of anything that is delayed causes you to be upset and impatient. So if things don't come fast and quick, we see it on the highway all the time. Do you see patient drivers on the highway? I don't see them anymore. Maybe one or two, but they're off to the side. But usually most people, when they come flying by, they salute you. You know how they salute you. It's not very complimentary. What they're saying, in essence, is get out of my way. Get out of my way. And so they get upset because they're impatient. And they can't wait to get to where they want to go. And when they come shooting past you, what do? They get off right at the next exit. And you say to yourself, why didn't you just wait? Let me go on, and then you get off. No, I have to get ahead of you, because I want to be ahead of you. And then I go off to the on and on it goes. Crazy. But that's the kind of world we're getting. Everything is impatient. And when people don't get what they want, they fly off the handle. And so it becomes very, very serious times in which we're living. It's times that the Bible says we need to be extremely careful. Careful because of this impatience that is all around us. You and I have not been called to be impatient. We're called to be patient, and there's a reason for it. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. God is going to render, as it says in verse 6, he's going to render to every individual, every man, every woman, according to their deeds, the way they've been responding in living their life. And it goes on to say in verse 7, notice the key point here, to them, referring to individuals called now, to them who by patient continuance, notice that, patient continuance. There is a process whereby we have to patiently continue in that which we have been called to participate. And if we get impatient, we're going to be frustrated because it's not going to come that way. You have to patiently continue as it goes on in what? What are we supposed to be patiently continuing to do? The scripture tells us in well-doing. Whatever we do, strive to do it well in however you find that situation coming to you that day. And what is the end result, the end game? We seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. There you see why he says, have great recompense of reward. That's why you don't want to cast this away, because this has tremendous benefits at the end of the road. But because things today have been geared by dark and insidious forces working behind the scenes, and the prophecies of the Word of God are designed to alert us to these dangers, because we are living in dangerous end-time fulfillment of prophecies. And this thing of patience shows itself more and more all the time. We realize 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we are to be praying without ceasing. In other words, we should always be in a prayerful state of being. But you know, there are times when people, as we say, lack consistency and their prayer life gets kind of disrupted by events. This is why God used the prophets in the Old Testament, and he made the statement. He says, my people have forgotten me days without number. How do you forget God days without number? You get so involved in your everyday routine of living life, you forget to pray. You're just rushing to go to work, rushing to go here, rushing to go there, coming back. This is what people are doing today. They're just rushing all around the place. Everybody going here, going there. They think all this is important. Well, to them it is, because it's the only life they know. But there's something far greater that is going on. The plan and purpose of God, which warns us that these are not times to stop praying. This is important because it's our communication with God that is vital. We cannot afford to be separated from our mentor, our creator, our instructor. What happens all too often, because as Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. As we get older, Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us, it's very easy to fall into the trap where you grow weary in well-doing. It's important that we never get weary in well-doing, that we always strive to make sure we're giving it our very, very best, whatever that is that we are trying to accomplish. We know that we don't always have patience. We just don't have it all the time. I wish we did, because we have a need, and I can't stress that enough, that this is a time when patience is going to play a very, very important part in the plan of God. So don't underestimate this. Don't just say, oh, well, yeah, I've got to be patient. You have to work at this thing of patience, because there's so many things that can just tick us off just like that and irritate us and prove that we don't have the patience that we like to think we have. And so it's going to be a part of our overcoming that God has required of us. And you find that in the book of Revelation when he talks to the churches. Now, what I want to do first and foremost, I want to take you through just a basic overview of this thing of patience and see how it all ties together. We're going to look at three basic areas. We could do more, but three basic areas is enough to focus in today. And we'll cover some scriptures that maybe you haven't heard of in a while, but it shows you some very important elements that we need to be mindful of. Join me in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. And if you want an outstanding Bible study in your own personal life, review the prophecies of the book of Jeremiah. He's one of the most dynamic prophets that God used, prophet to the nations, and many of his prophecies are coming to pass right now in our day and age. In Jeremiah chapter 7, he reminds us what he talked to the descendants of Israel, and he's telling us the same way today, because everything is written for our learning in Romans 15 and verse 4. We're reminded of that very thing. In verse 22, he says, "For I spoke not." So God is speaking now here through the prophet. He says, "I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt regarding burnt offerings and sacrifices." He says, that was not my intent. Those sacrifices and the like came later, but that was not the intent. But verse 23, this thing commanded I of them, saying, note, obey my voice. So patience begins with obedience to God. That's where patience begins. Because if you're dealing with God, you're going to find out he requires that we be patient. And that rubs us a lot of times. And this is where a lot of people get angry with God, because God patiently works out his will in the lives of individuals, and people get upset because they're impatient and they want things to happen fast and quick. Remember Isaiah 55, God says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts." So it's important that we clue in on where God is coming from, how he is operating, and the more we learn how to think and be patient like he does, then we'll know what? How to fulfill the will of God. Notice that we started with that. That we have a need. What is it? To do the will of God. Because you and I don't do the will of God perfectly. Nobody does. It is a learning process. And the more we learn, the better off we are, because we are obeying the voice of God. He says, and here's what I say. He says, "And I will be your God. You shall be my people. Walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." That's why we do it. We want it to be well with us. You don't want to have to go through heartache and trials to learn lessons. It's so much better to just follow the voice of the boss. Listen to what he has to say, and it's going to work out. But try to push it yourself to make it happen. Ain't going to happen. Why? We're impatient. We want it now. That's why people jokingly say, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it now." You can't have it now. Patience is something that is developed. It takes a lifetime to develop it. And it plays an important part in all the prophecies of the Word of God. So there you have a very important beginning. We have to obey God's voice of instruction. Do people obey the voice of God's instruction today? No. And why do they have problems? Because of that. Whose voice do they listen to? Any voice under the sun, but not God's. We have chosen to listen to the voice of God. We don't do it perfectly, but we're trying to, with God's help, follow His guidance through His Holy Spirit. What it will do is bring benefits to us, not only now, but in the future. That's why we're told, don't cast it away. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, notice that in order to gain the victory, the ultimate outcome of what all of us desire, and that is that we have to do what? It says we have to be steadfast. We have to be unmovable. In other words, nobody can shake us loose from what God has shown us. And always abounding in the work of God. In other words, the will of God. And there's so many scriptures. You can go to a concordance and look under will of God, and you'll see all kinds of things listed there to help you understand what is the will of God. People walk around today like, well, what's the will of God? I don't know what the will of God is. He tells us. He tells us how to conduct ourselves. And we're told in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember, the book of Revelation is a prophecy for the future. And it is to be read now so that we know and understand what it is that God wants us to do. He talked to a group of individuals back in their day when they were alive. It was the Smyrna Church of God. They went through a terrible time of persecution. Thank God we're not in that kind of time. But there are other brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through some terrifying, horrific times with the knowledge of God's truth. He says, "Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. For behold, the devil is going to cast you into prison, that you may be tried." That's a warning to the church of God, because we're to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It means be on the lookout for the devil. He's always looking to try to cause troubles for you. So don't open the door and give him a chance to come in. Block him. And then it goes on and says, you're going to be tried, and this tribulation is going to last for 10 days, or roughly 10 years was their time of great trial in a Smyrna church. He says, but be faithful unto death. Don't be fearful. If it comes to the place you have to surrender this life, none of us want to surrender life. Life is a precious gift. But if it has to be surrendered, let it be surrendered on God's terms, not carnal-minded terms of human beings. Not yours, not mine, but God's. If we must surrender, may we always surrender as unto God. The reason for that is that God can raise us from the dead. He has the power to give us life again. Nobody else has that capacity. And so he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Who will? God will. He has purposed to do this for those who are faithful to him. Let's take a look at some other scriptures that impact on this very subject of obedience. Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. And here in the book of Colossians, we have the following admonition. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Notice verse 23. He says, if you continue in the faith. Remember, we've already seen in the scripture, it says patient continuance. So we have to continue in what we have been brought in harmony with from the scriptures and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is what? The good news of the coming kingdom of God. We understand this. Which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, when I, Paul, was made a minister. And in 2 Peter, join me in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, "Know you therefore, seeing that you know these things." And how do we know them? Only because God has revealed it to us. That's the only way. He says, "Beware also lest you be led away by the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness." In other words, you become impatient and you lose control of your spiritual life. You're no longer in charge because you have renounced your steadfastness and the steady hand that is necessary. And then he tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, so the first element of patience involves obedience to the voice of God, to hear what he has to say and follow his instruction. The second point I'd like to emphasize is what we see written all throughout the Bible for our learning. Because we learn best from stories, and especially stories of other people like ourselves, and the problems and the trials that they faced. How did they overcome these things? And some of the things that they had to overcome are horrific. And you have to admire them, and it creates edification. When you look and see what trials brethren, even in the body of Christ today, are carrying, the crosses that they carry in their own personal life, and yet they maintain faithfulness and truth to God, and they continue patiently to obey God, you have to admire them, and that is edification to you. If they can do it, then you must be willing to do it and carry on. The Apostle Paul, his example edifies all of us. And you remember what he said there in the book of Corinthians. Follow me, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11. Let's take a quick look at that. First Corinthians chapter 11. And what he is saying here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is that he wants us to do something. He wants us to take note of what we've heard in the sermonette today. He went through an awful lot of difficulties and problems. He went through a horrific amount of things and trials that could have shaken his faith, but he didn't. He stayed the course. And notice he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." I follow Jesus because he did this before I'm doing it. He's showing me how to live this way of life. And so, what does he say about how he lived? Well, he was no longer going to live for everyday fleshly pleasures and desires. He enjoyed life just like any of us. Like we've already heard in the earlier message, he's learned. He says, "I've learned to be on the high side of life, and I know what it's like to be on the bottom side too when it's kind of hard." He says, "I've learned to be content in all this." He was patient in living life. And he didn't run and panic. Just like Job, when Job went through his trials, and we're told, do you remember the patience of Job? How he had to endure what he did, and most of us, thank God, have never had to go through what Job went through. And may we never have to go. May we learn from those examples. But one thing is for sure, it does edify us. It does teach us. There must be something there. Why? Why would a person go through all that if it's nothing but a bunch of foolishness? Why would the disciples go through what they did if it was all a bunch of foolishness? It wasn't. And they knew it because they had talked to Christ point blank. "We know that you were dead. And now we're talking to you are alive. This is real. This isn't something that is make-believe." And that's why God wants us to understand why Paul could say, "I am crucified with Christ. I live my life just like I was hanging on that cross with Jesus. Because he died for me. That's where I should have been. for all my sin, all my transgressions, and that's why it's recorded, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. I'm like all other human beings, but I live not for the self, but for him who died for me. He lived to glorify God, and that's exactly what you and I are living for. His expectation, having been patient through all that he went through, and some of that, again, was pretty horrific, what he had to go through. But it was prophesied that he was a chosen servant. And as he inflicted great harm on the church in its early beginnings, the prophecy said he would have to suffer an awful lot to learn as well what people have had to endure for the truth of God. His expectation was, it's found in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and that time of my departure is at hand. He knew it was checkout time. He had run the course as far as he could run that God had outlined for him. He says, verse 7, I have fought a good fight, and it is a fight, and I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Notice, each of us has a course in which we are walking. How are you doing on your course? God wants us to stop and think about these things as we read these scriptures. He says, I have kept the faith. We have to ask ourselves, have we kept the faith? Are we striving to keep the faith following Paul's example? Now verse 8, henceforth, here's the end result. What am I expecting here at the end of all of this that I've gone through? Henceforth there is laid up, something is on reserve, laid up for me, a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all, and not just me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing, that look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. A crown of glory. It's got your name on it. Do you want that crown? Do you hunger and thirst for God to give you that crown? If it doesn't matter to you, why should it matter to God? God wants you to see what he has to offer. And he says, well, if you see what I'm offering you, are you willing to pay the price? I asked you to count the cost. And all these things are there for our benefit. Because you see, God wants not only his church to survive, he wants the next generation of young people from the church of God to go into the millennium to be examples to others who will be part of the new heavens and new earth that is going to be created when Jesus Christ returns. And I'm not talking about the one in Revelation 21. You know, the millennium is going to be a type of new heavens and a new earth. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, because it's going to be different. It's going to be ruled by God. It's not going to have demonic angels behind the scenes doing all the things. It's going to be ruled by the saints of God. This is part of our training. God says, you're going to have need of patience. Why? Because when you deal with people, people get under your skin in a hurry. Did you notice that? Do you ever get involved where you just, ooh, that person, why did she? We get upset with each other so quickly, and we call it conflict among human beings. This is how Satan weakens the nations. He turns us against each other, and we weaken our relationships rather than having a loving relationship. He turns nations, which are nothing more than families grown great, he turns them against each other. So they're all striving against each other instead of loving and cooperating with one another. They won't learn that lesson until the kingdom of God returns and Jesus Christ begins to teach us this marvelous way. That will be like a new heaven and a new earth to this people who survive and see what God has purpose for all of us. When we look according to Hebrews chapter 12, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And notice verse 1 through 3. It says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses." What does that translate to? That means we are being edified by what these people have done and gone before. It stirs our minds, our hearts. And we want to be a part of what they have endured. We want to be there when all of it comes together at the appropriate time. Remember, Hebrews 11 concludes by saying what? All these people who lived and were before us, they all died in faith, not having received the promise. They're just waiting in the grave until we accomplish our purpose. Then it says, "Wherefore, seeing now that all these people who have gone before us made the same commitment we're making to," he says, "so a cloud of witnesses," it says, "lay aside every weight of sin which so easily besets us," it says, "and let us do what? Let us run with patience." There you go. You have need of patience. "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Our life is a race, dear brethren. Our life, as the pages of life, you know, some of us in this room, the book of life has just been opened. For others, it's halfway through. For others, it's three quarters of the way through. And we're told, be patient. The end result will be good for everyone, because that's the kind of God we serve. And we are told to look to who? Verse 2, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He's the one that is teaching us how, "who for the joy that was set before him, he endured this terrible, horrific torture cross, despising that shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He says, "for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." You can't afford to faint and become impatient. Our brethren set a tremendous example for us in the past and present. Romans 15 again, we talk about that, Romans 15, 4. I'd like to give you another scripture in conjunction with that. Romans 15 and verse 5. Romans 15 and verse 5. And notice who we are dealing with. And may we never forget this, because this is why things don't always happen fast. Things follow God's timetable. Isaiah 55, he says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways." So we have to learn how he thinks. We have to learn how his ways are expressed in the Bible. And he says here, "now the God of patience." He's a God of patience? Well, no wonder we have a need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, then we receive the reward. You know, there are going to be people who are going to be in the kingdom of God who are just barely going to make it into the kingdom of God. They will receive their crown, but they won't have any extra blessings. Why? They won't put out. They won't put out. You see, the parable of the talents, where five earns 10, and then a accordingly. You know, if you had 2 talents, you would get 4 talents. In other words, God wants to see something produced. If we are just content to be in the kingdom of God, then God says, okay, I can get you there, but I had so much more I wanted to do for you, but I'm sorry, you're ineligible. You're not going to get those extra benefits. The ones that put forth that extra effort, who believe me and put their shoulder to the plow and struggled and fought through those difficulties, they're going to get those rewards. And so, again, how far do we want to go? God says, give it all you got. You don't know what's on the other side. God will determine that. But some people today don't want to do anything in terms of really, they just want to believe and receive. That's how most evangelical Christianity, you and I have been called to be doers of the work that God has called us to do. And he is a God of patience and consolation, grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Did you hear that? We're to be patient with one another. Why? Because sometimes brethren get under other brethren's skin. And you got to repent of that and say, look, we were called to love one another, not to say, ay, 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 I don't want any part of that individual over there. Why? Because if it rubs you wrong, it means something happened to your patience and you became impatient, either even by the way they acted or what they said or what they did. Here's the point. However you judge everybody else, whether in the church, out of the church, judge righteous judgment, because the way you push it out is the way it's going to be used on you when the day of accountability comes. Dear brethren, I don't want any of that. I don't think you want any of that. I think all you want to hear is one thing from Almighty God, Jesus Christ, when he returns. Well done, good and faithful servant. You don't want to hear anything else but well done. And therefore, patience becomes very important. And we're to look to Jesus because he set the example, because he knew.